Shabbat Tov, Rabotai. We are studying Sefer Tehillim. We are in Perek Nun Adef. We've studied this chapter, Perek HaTeshuvah, the chapter of Teshuvah. We've studied it for the past two Motzei Shabbatot. And Be'ezrat Hashem will have Siyata Deshmeya to make a conclusion tonight of the chapter. We are holding in Pasuk Yud Dalid. Again, just to remind you, this chapter was written after Natan HaNavi came to David HaMelech and rebuked him for the sin that he committed with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah Hiti. David HaMelech, as we learned, accepted the rebuke immediately, and he said, Chatati. And as a result, Borei Olam forgave him and restored his kingdom. However, the Gemara brings down in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Bet, that for 6 months, David HaMelech became stricken with leprosy as a result of the sin, and he lost his Ruach HaKodesh. So the Pasuk says, Hashiva li seson yishayecha veruach nediva tismecheni. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Which means he's pleading to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him back his Ruach HaKodesh. Why? Because he lost it. So therefore, please return to me the Ruach HaKodesh. And as a result, he says, "Veruah nedivat tismecheni," which means a generous spirit will sustain me. Ruach nedivah is the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh. But I saw an interpretation from the Rashbam. He says that when it says in the pasuk nedivah, nedivah can also be to rule, like it says, "Nedivei Amim," the ruler of nations. David HaMelech is saying, give me a spirit that will able to be rule over me. Which means when a person succumbs to his sin, he's being ruled by his passion. He's being ruled by his desires. So therefore he's asking Borei Olam that his teshuvah will be able to sustain itself. That he won't, Chas v'Shalom, go back and fall again in sin. Therefore, veruach nedivah, give me a spirit that dominates over me and it'll sustain me, which means it'll give me the ability that I don't have to come back and sin again. Pasuk says in Tetvav, Alameda foshim derachecha, vehataim elecha yeshuvu. I will teach transgression or transgressors your ways, and sinners shall repent to you. David HaMelech is saying over here two things. As a result of me receiving teshuvah and getting a second chance, I can use that as an opportunity to teach others how to make teshuvah. There's nobody more effective in preaching teshuvah than somebody that was there already and accomplished it. Because the people can hear it from him. If a big tzaddik gets up and preaches teshuvah, the people might not relate. They might say, well, what does he know from sin? He never tasted it. He doesn't know what it is. David HaMelech says, as a result of this sin over here, and my teshuvah, now I'll be effective. Alameda foshim derachecha. And as a result, v'chataim elecha yeshuvu. I'll preach the importance of teshuvah, and they'll hear what I'm saying. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Sha'arei Teshuvah, in Perek Aleph, when he's listing the 20 different tikkunim for a Baal Teshuvah, he says the final principle of repentance is, turn back as many people as you can to Teshuvah. And this is already how he can fix his own neshama, by bringing others back. So David HaMelech says, "That's I'll involve myself in such a mitzvah as well. I'll teach others the inyan of the teshuvah." Now it should be noted, the Gemara says that really when it comes to David HaMelech's sin, he wasn't worthy of such a sin. But Borei Olam took away the Si'atad Dishmaya of David HaMelech. Normally the tzaddikim are protected from sin. But this sin over here, it was beneath David HaMelech to commit such a sin. And if he committed such a sin, we have to say that God wanted him to commit this sin. Not that God takes away the free will of a person, but God usually protects the tzaddikim. Like the Gemara says in many places, when the Gemara talks about a tzaddik that supposedly ate something that wasn't kosher, the Gemara cannot accept such a thing. The Gemara says, "Umad behem tam shel tzaddikim, en haKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yedehem. Tzaddikim lo kol sheken." God protects the animals of the tzaddikim from sin. Certainly, He's going to protect the tzaddikim themselves. And therefore, when we talk about David HaMelech's sin, we can ask an obvious question. Where was God? How come God did not protect him from such a sin? Where was the Si'at HaDishmaya? So the Mefarshim say that this was on purpose. God brought him to this situation. Why? So David HaMelech will be the lesson that when a person makes a sin, he'll know that you can make teshuvah. V'David HaMelech yuchiyah. And the proof is David HaMelech. Until David HaMelech comes along, a person might... He might not know that if a person commits a grave sin, this was a question of adultery, this was a question of killing an innocent man, at least at face value. And still David HaMelech was atoned. And therefore it's a lesson to others. And that's why the Gemara says, David HaMelech hikim u'da shel teshuvah. David HaMelech, he elevated the yoke of teshuvah, that from him they'll learn that Borei Olam forgives. And therefore David HaMelech says, Alameda Poshaim Derachecha, which means I'll be able to teach Poshaim your ways. What are your ways? That you are Hanun Marbe L'Slawah, that you are Marbe L'Hitiv, that you forgive, which means my forgiveness will serve as the example, as the paradigm to others. That if God can accept David HaMelech's Teshuvah, so therefore this Teshuvah for all sins. Hasileni middamim Elohim Elohet Teshuati Teranen Leshoni Sidkatecha, which literally means rescue me from blood guilt, Hashem, God of my salvation, let my tongue sing joyously of your righteousness. David HaMelech is praying now. According to Rashi, I do not want to die by the sword. Usually God punishes a person midah keneged midah. And since he had Uriah killed on the front lines by a sword, so David HaMelech suspected that maybe for his teshuvah he's going to have to die in the same way. So he says, Hasileni middamim, save me from the death of a violent death of dying by the sword. Teranen leshoni sedkatecha. And as a result, my mouth will be able to be filled with the sweet words of your praise and your Torah. Adonai sefatai teftach ufi yagid telatecha. A pasuk that we're well familiar with, the pasuk that begins the Amidah. But let's get a simple interpretation. Hashem, comma. You have to know how to read this pasuk. Some people read it quickly. Hashem sefatai. God is my lips. God is not your lips. God is God. So therefore you have to say, Adonai, sefatai teftach, ufi yagid telatecha. Which means, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. So I saw a wonderful interpretation based on the Ramban and Rabbi Gifter, Alav HaShalom's interpretation of the Ramban. Simply, David HaMelech says, God, give me the chance that my lips will be able to be opened again, b'truach HaKodesh, ufi yagid telatecha, and I can praise you on the high level that I've been accustomed to. But the Ramban says, sefatai does not mean necessarily lips. Sefatai is coming from the Lashon, Sfat Nahar, the banks of a river. That, what does the Sfat Nahar accomplish? What does the banks of a river serve? What's its purpose? In order to keep the waters from overflowing. from flooding. So if we have a stuff like a rim around the waters to protect it, to keep it at its in its place. So Rav Gifta said, based on this interpretation of Ramban, that Sefatai is the border. When a person comes to pray to Borei Olam in Tefillah, when he comes in prayer, prayer is an exercise of the neshama. Halakha says when a person comes to pray, he has to remove all foreign thoughts from his mind. He has to remove himself from any gashmiyut, any physical, materialistic concepts, like Maran writes in Shulchan Aruch Siman Saddihet, and his mind should be totally focused on the Shekhinah, only on God. And therefore it's a very spiritual moment where the soul of the human being now connects to Kadosh Baruch Hu in the upper world, Olam HaAsilut, which is the highest world. And at that point, his physical has no power, so to speak. That's what Halakha says. A person stands in the Amidah, his hands like this, bound, and his feet are next to each other, which means his body is limited. The expression is only coming from his speech, but we know speech actually comes from the neshama, and if it's the neshama that's doing the communication. Normally, says Rav Gifta, the neshama of a person is confined and restricted in the body. However, at the time of the tefillah, where a person, his mindset is that the body is not going to be an interference, he lifts himself above his physical, now the neshama can go beyond its borders. It's not constricted by the physical body, and if we connect the Kadosh Baruch Hu beyond the confines of his physical. And therefore, the Pasuk says, Hashem, Sefatai Tiftach, open the banks, which means let my neshama, which is behind the physical, it can't come out. Like the banks of the water, the water cannot penetrate. Sefatai Tiftach, open the banks of the body. Now my neshama can surge forward and rise up and praise you. And therefore at the time of the tefillah, it's a tremendous, tremendous moment of ruhaniyut. Unfortunately, we don't have the kavanot the right way. We're praying, you know, with such a tridot, where we have our mind on so many other things. That's why we cannot enjoy the experience of what tefillah really is. If we would enjoy the tefillah, what it really is, we wouldn't want to... All we would want to do is pray all day long. But because tefillah becomes a mechanical, routine type of behavior, exercise, so we don't know, we can't relate to what we're saying here. But if a person understood that you can get to a moment of concentration and meditation, where it's like almost an out-of-body experience, where the person he feels his neshama being elevated to Olam HaAsilut, to the highest madriga, and his neshama now is going outside of his body, so to speak, and is able to communicate. So we're praying for that. Hashem, Sefatai Tiftach. Let the Safa, the board, let it overflow. Okay, hey, we should be zocher to such an anyan. On the subject of this pasuk beginning the Amidah, on a simple level. What do you mean Hashem Sefatai Tiftach? God opened my lips. When you're talking to your friend and you call him on the telephone, before you speak to him, do you say Hashem Sefatai Tiftach? Please God open my mouth. We speak all day long. We never say Hashem Sefatai Tiftach. Why all of a sudden now we need help? And the interpretation is, if a person really understood that he's standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he would be tongue-tied. He wouldn't be able to say anything. It's almost as if we heard stories of people that wanted to meet, let's say, the great rabbis of Israel. And they had certain she'elot that they wanted to ask the Gedolei Israel. And they finally get a meeting with the Gedolei Israel. So you ask them, did you ask the question? No, I forgot the question. We forgot the question. Oh, when I got in the room and I was with the Gedolei Israel, I got too nervous. I couldn't say anything. I froze. No, well, I just got a beracha and I left.
What do you mean? You're talking about this question for 6 months. You're going to go ask the rabbi. I don't know. I couldn't come out. And we know that. A person prepares a speech for a very long time. I once saw a very, very celebrated speaker. Man that speaks, he gives shi'urim, he's well-spoken. Not afraid of a tape recorder, not afraid of a video, not afraid of people. Meaning in this sense. Tzaddik, the person, tzaddik. And he was speaking at a hatuna. And I've heard this person speak at hatunot countless times. And he has poise, and he's calm, and he's collected, and everything's good. That night, at the Hatuna, there was one of Gedolei Yisrael, happened to, unannounced, be under the chuppah. Okay, it's a zechut. That fellow that was making the speech, the words cannot come out of his mouth. He was tongue-tied, he was repeating, he was flush. You saw that his heart was beating much, he was nervous. And I went to him after. I said, "What happened to tonight? This is not. It's out of your derech." It's like I could. Like my brain was frozen. I went to brain freeze. Why? In front of the gadol over here, and the gadol understands English, so he's going to know what I'm saying. Maybe I'm going to say the wrong words. Maybe he's going to think different of me. Maybe that's already. You can't even. The words don't come out. So if a person becomes tongue-tied in front of gedolei Yisrael, how is it so comfortable for us? We're coming in front of the Shekhinah, God Almighty Himself. We're standing in the Amidah, standing in front of the Shekhinah. So really, what should happen in every Amidah, we should be mute, Chas V'Shalom. So therefore we pray, Hashem, Sifatai Tiftach. Please God, open my mouth. I can't open my mouth. I need, you have to help me, that I'll be able to open my mouth. But even after I open my mouth, that doesn't mean words are going to come out. I mean, a person has the ability to open his mouth, sometimes when a person is very scared. You hear him screaming, but the voice doesn't come out because he's so nervous. He loses his voice, chokes up, his vocal cords freeze, but he's making the words, he's cutting the words with his lips and his tongue and his teeth, but you don't hear any volume. So therefore we say, Ufi yagit tehillatecha. After you open my lips, now let something come out of it. Let me say the words. But again, you have to feel that you're in front of the Shekhinah to appreciate Hashem Sefatai Tiftach V'Yagid Tehillatecha. On this subject of tefillah, if we could just say one idea that I saw from the Baalei Musar. Is prayer uniquely a human trait? Is this something that only humans have the ability to do? So if we look at Hazal, it's not so. We see even the animals pray. Ein echol elecha yisaberu, ve'ata noten lahem et ochlam ba'ito. It says all the animals and life, they turn to God and God provides for them. The pasuk says, "Noten lebehema lachma levne orev asher ikra'u." God gives food to the raven that prays to Borei Olam. So you see, even the animals, hakifirim shoagim latarif ulbekesh me'el ochlam. The lions, they roar to Kadosh Baruch Hu and they ask God for sustenance. So then the question is, what makes our prayers different or more special than the prayers of the animals? So I saw the explanation is as follows. An animal can only pray for himself. He never prays for somebody else. The animal's prayer is selfish. But a human being, our prayers are not like the prayers of the animals, because we have the ability to pray on behalf of another person. The Gemara has claims against Noah, because Noah, while he saved himself, he didn't pray for the generation. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, sacrificed himself for the sake of others. I saw that one Mefaresh said, God will answer a prayer only if the person really wants that item. But what? A lot of times we think we want that item, but we really don't. How do you know? A person might ask God for wealth, and he really wants the wealth, but he really doesn't want it. You know why? Because if the guy's head would be underwater, what would he ask at that point? He would want his health back. He don't care about wealth. So the wealth is not the main thing. The way you judge is, what would you ask when your head's underwater? So he said, when a person went to Gedolei Yisrael, and you asked them, please, so-and-so is sick, so-and-so is not feeling well, you know why they were answered? Because if you put the Gadol's head under the water, he would pray for the other guy's health before he would pray for himself. Says that's why they were answered. Which is the tefillah, we can understand such a concept. That they had such ahavat Yisrael towards somebody else, that was their wish even before themselves. So therefore, if that's the thing that you most want, even under those circumstances, Borei Olam is going to answer a person. Furthermore, on this subject of the tefillah, tefillah comes from the word naftule naftalti, when Yaakov named Leah named Naftali. Naftali has the same shortage as tefillah. Tefillah means to bind, to attach. When a person prays, he's actually attaching himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which means it brings him closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech says in one of the chapters in the Tehillim, Va'ani tefillah. What does David HaMelech mean? I am a prayer. I am tefillah. What do you mean I am a tefillah? Tefillah is not something you could be. So I saw one interpretation is, when a pauper comes to your door, he doesn't even have to open his mouth. You see what he is. You see, he doesn't have to even request it. You know he wants money. David HaMelech, even though he's the king of Israel, but he was so humble. When you looked at David HaMelech, he gave you the impression that he needs somebody, that he needs something, that he's seeking a certain spirituality. David HaMelech, Va'ani tefillah. I am a walking tefillah, which means when people saw me, right away you understood that this man already, God, he needs God, this person. And that's the anyan of opening the tefillah. You need a zechut to pray to Borei Olam. And if we open the tefillah with Hashem sefatai teftah ufi yagid telatecha, comes the next pasuk. Ki lo tahpos zebah ve'etena ola lo tirse, which means you do not desire an offering. Ki lo tahpos zebah, zebah is a korban, ve'etena, which is because if you did, I would give it to you. Ola lo tirse. You don't want even a korban ola. David HaMelech was saying like this: I cannot atone my sin with the korban. David HaMelech was being hard on himself in this pasuk, because normally a person, if he commits a sin, he can bring a korban. But what type of korban can he bring? Korban hatat. But you can only bring a korban hatat if you committed the sin b'shogeg. David HaMelech says, I'm not even a shogeg, I'm a mezid. And therefore, ki lo tahpos zebach, you're not going to accept my korban, because I'm a mezid, I should have known better. And the halakha says that when a person who should have known better sins, the Gemara says, hayalo lilmod velo lamad. Where he should have known better and he didn't, then already is considered a mezid. So David HaMelech says, my sin is so great, I cannot even atone it with a korban. Ola lo tirse. Nor can I bring a korban ola. Zivhe Elohim, ruach nishbara, lev nishbar v'nitke, Elohim lo tibze. But he says, you know what the offering of God is? God doesn't want korbanot necessarily. You know what the greatest sacrifice that we can bring to God? Lev nishbar, ruach nishbara, a broken spirit. Lev nishbar v'nitke, a heart that's broken and crushed. Elohim lo tibzeh. Such a korban, God will not despise. Rabbeinu Yonah explains, what does this mean, lev nishbar? Lev nishbar means a person that has a modest and humble spirit. That's ruach nishbara. And lev nishbar means a crushed heart, which means a breaking of the physical lust. Which is, once a person is not going after his physical desires, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the biggest sacrifice. Sacrifice doesn't only have to be an animal. But a person sacrifices the thing that's most pleasurable to him. If it's his greatest weakness in life, if he could overcome that, that is the greatest sacrifice. Person has a yitzhara towards eating, and is able to control it and curb that passion, that's the biggest, that's considered ruach nishbara. Lev nishbar, he broke the desire. He has a yitzhara of speaking, he broke the desire. Have a yitzhara towards gezel, or the other averot, his greatest weakness is his greatest korban, is his greatest sacrifice. And that's what Borei Olam wants. So I saw a few interpretations on this pasuk, which I think are very novel. The first one says like this. There's a machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban on the purpose of korbanot. It's a very fundamental machloket. You have to know this machloket. Why does God want korbanot? What's the concept of a sacrifice? Shitat HaRambam is because in the olden days the goyim used to worship animals. We know in Mitzrayim, for example, they used to worship the sheep. That's why the first mitzvah, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Jewish people, take the sheep of the goyim and slaughter it. Why? Because we want to show Klal Yisrael there's nothing to an animal. It's not an Avodah Zarah, it's nothing. Adraba, you slaughter it, and you give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything belongs to God. It's to nullify the paganistic look at an animal. Today a person goes to India. The cow is more hashuv than a human being. A person kills a cow in India, it's a capital punishment. In some places they don't even allow you to milk a cow. They don't allow you to have any benefit from the shearings of sheep. And in some places, they used to worship animals because they were in the image of demons. They used to worship the demons, but the demons sometimes look like an animal. That's why the pasuk says, Yizbehu lashedim lo elawa. But they were worshipping the demons, and then since the demons look like animals, so therefore they worship the animals as well. So HaRambam says the ikar inyan of a korban is to show Avodah Zarah is worthless. Comes the Ramban and he levels very strong questions against Shitat HaRambam. The first question he has is, what are you talking about? Cain brought korban. Hevel brought korban. Noah brought a korban. There was no Avodah Zarah at the time. So if you tell me the whole purpose of Korbanot is to nullify the Avodah Zarah, how do you justify the Korbanot of the people that brought sacrifices before even the advent of Avodah Zarah? And then he comes along and says another question. We pray in the Tefillah, She'tita'enu b'gbulenu, V'sham na'aseh lefanecha Korbanot chobotenu. Please God, rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, so we'll be able to bring korbanot. What are you talking? La'atid lavo, there's not going to be any more Avodah Zarah. It says, La'atid lavo, everybody's going to make teshuvah. Yichri'u v'yipod v'yikabelu chulam et ol makutecha v'temnok aleim mehera le'olam v'ayil ke malchut shelecha hi ul'ol me'at temnok bechavod. Which is, ultimately Mashiach comes. Ki ta'avid b'mshirat zadol min ha'ares. All the Avodah Zarah is going to leave the world, Everybody's going to serve God in unison. So, and we're still going to have korbanot. What do you mean? According to Harambam, I should have korbanot la'atid lavo. Strong questions. So Harambam says, the time of the korbanot is as follows. A person commits an avon. Really? He should be slaughtered. But what? The Kadosh Baruch Hu has compassion on the person. Instead of taking him, God says, bring an animal. And at the time that he's bringing the animal, he comes along and says, this shechita that I'm doing, I should have been. And therefore he slaughters it with that kavanah. And then what happens? He takes the animal, he skins it, and he throws it on the ground. And then he, that's like sekira. And then he puts it on the mizbeah. The knife is like a headache. It's like a saif. And then when he throws him on the ground, that's like a sekira. Right? And then when he burns him on the mizbeah, that's like a serifa. When he held his neck, that's like henik. So you see the arba mitot bedin happening to the animal. And the person's watching this. So the person becomes so humbled. And what is the purpose of the Qurban? It brings him closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, such a intent behind the Qurban, it's really a yan of humility. That a person realizes that he's living at the mercy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That he doesn't deserve his life. And really, the animal is like a couple of gods taking the animal instead of him. And that's what the Pasuk says in one place. It says, Adam ubhema toshi Hashem. Which means, Adam ubhema toshi Hashem. God brings salvation to the Adam with the behema. Which means when he brings the behema as the Qurban, that brings him salvation. And that's the, and therefore according to this, if the whole purpose of the Qurban is humility, Hevel and Cain can also bring Qurbanot. Which means they're just showing over there, really we don't deserve life. Therefore we're doing to the Qurban, we deserve this also. And even the Inyan, when the Mashiach comes, we're living by Hasdei Hashem, and therefore the inyan of the Qurban is to show our insignificance. So if that's the interpretation, they read the Pesukim like this. Go to the Pasuk. Start from Zivhei Elohim. Zivhei Elohim Ruach Nishbara. It's like the Ramban. You know what the reason of Qurban is? Ruach Nishbara. Borei Olam wants the heart of the person to be broken. It's in Yan of Anava. Lev Nishbar V'nitke. He wants the heart to become crushed. Elohim Lo Tibze. And that's the reason. Not because of the reason of Avodah Zarah that the Rambam said. And then he comes along and says, Hetiva Birsonecha Etzion. You know what the proof is? Because when God is going to rebuild the walls of Sion, Tevne Chomot Yerushalayim, As Tachvos of Chesedek Ola V'Chalir, As Ya'alu HaMizbechach HaFarim, there's going to be Korbanot. And therefore you see that the Rambam's reason cannot be correct. From the fact that you see, number one, the reason is Anava. What's the reason of Anava? That explains Cain and Hevel, that explains Noah. What about the second claim of the Rambam? You see that what? Astaghfir Zif Hasidic. But according to Rambam, why should you have to have Zif Hasidic? Why do you have to have Qurbanot Le'anyan when the Mashiach comes? Adraba. It should be no purpose. And you see what? That is the Anyan of Anava. Therefore, it's going to be brought at that time as well. Now, on this subject, what does it mean, Lev Nishbar Vinitke? A broken heart. God wants the broken heart of the person. So I saw, there's a Ramban. The Ramban says that Kadosh Baruch Hu always uses the word in the Torah of bara. Bara, to create something, means yesh me'ayin. That God creates something from nothing. That's lashon biri'ah. Again, learn the terminology. Bereshit bara Elohim. Bara means there was nothing there. He created nothing. He created something from nothing. Which means, if I take these napkins and I make a structure out of them, I make like, you know, a little image out of them, that's not bara. That's asa. You took what you had and you made a structure out of it. Masha'inkin bara means you made the materials themselves from scratch, and then you fashioned it into a creation. That's inyan of bara, yesh me'ayin. That's what Ramban says in the beginning of Bereshit. David HaMelech, in the early of this chapter, what did he say about himself? Lev tahor berali Elohim. Create for me a new heart. That's mashma what? A new heart from scratch. Why does he have to have create a new heart? God, he should just ask Borei Olam, clean the old heart that I have. You know, do a cleaning on it. Take out all the avorot and keep me the same heart. Now again, just so you have clarity, when we say heart, we don't mean the physical heart. Lev tahor means the inyan of his desires, the inyan of his drive. Give me a new spirit that I should serve you. Why? Just let's fix the old one. So what the explanation is? We have a law that says kli heres taharatan shaviratam. You have a kli heres. You have an earthenware pottery. It became tameh. How do you kosher it? You can't dip it in the mikveh. The only way to make it pure, you have to break it. You have kili heres, let's say. And like the halacha says by graf shel re'i. Graf shel re'i is, let's say, a vessel, chutz mekavod tzibur, where let's say they use it for excrement and things like that. So you cannot pray in front of a graf shel re'i if it's made out of heres. Halacha says, even if you clean it. Why? Because kli heres, you can't clean kli heres. It's porous. And therefore, it goes into the pores, and therefore it remains tamid. The only way to fix a kli heres, you got to break it, burn it, and start it again. Start it from scratch. A human being, what are we made out of? We're made of afar. Afar min adama. Therefore, every human being has a deen of a kli heres. What is heres made out of? Earth. Earthenware. And therefore, every human being has a deen of a kli heres. Once a person's neshama, or his brain, becomes filled with machshavot ra'ot, and bad thoughts, and avonot, you can't just say, oh, God, take it out. You cannot take out tumah from a kli heres. The only way you can take it out is what? You gotta break it. And that's what David HaMelech says, the only thing is, lev nishbar. You gotta break the lev. You can't extract the tumah, lev nishbar, you gotta crush it. And that's why he says, lev tahor berali Elohim. Esri yesh me'ayin. I have to have a new spirit created. This shows over here how deep the pigamim go into a human being. Which means, once a person has something in his, I heard one from the Gedolei Yisrael, he said, one time when he was young, he heard a word of apikorsut. A speaker was speaking, the speaker said things that were out of line. And he heard it, he happened to be there. So it said, it took me, he says, 50 years to extricate that tumah out of my brain. Which means you can't just say, okay, I heard it the next time. No, he says, already the pegam was, so you see, human being is porous. So every influence that has shalom goes into the person, you have to pray to Kesh Baruch Hu. It's not that you clean me. Clean me is not like, you can't clean it. And you have to pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just create you from scratch again, which means lev nishbar and give me a new mahut, a new. That's what they say. One of the toilet is of a person that goes to mikveh. What's the toilet of a mikveh? When a person goes to a mikveh, when he comes out, as if he's recreated. Why? Because the mikveh waters themselves remind us of the beginning of a human being's existence. In his mother's womb. In his mother's womb, he's surrounded by water. That's how he came into this world. He was surrounded by water. And now, all of a sudden, he emerges out of the mikveh. It's like he's coming out of his mother's womb again. He's recreated. He's reborn again. He's a different person. It's a re-emergence into life. That's the inyan of the tarav, the mikveh. That's the lev nishbar v'netkeh. And some say that when a person goes into the waters of the mikveh, he's in an environment that he cannot exist. A human being cannot live underwater. Fish can live underwater. A human being has no existence. So when a person emerges out of the woods, you're leaving as if mita tahayim. It's ke'en et tahiyat tamiti. You're in a place where you had no life. Life cannot exist underwater for a human being. So you went into a place where there was mita tahiyu, a puresh min akevir. It's like you left the kevir now to tahara, and now you're born again. Now, of course, if a person just wants to go to mikvaot all day long, that's not enough to make nefesh barav nidkeh. That person has to make the inyan of the teshuvah. And the explanation they say also is that when a person studies Torah, that's able to also purge a person, because Torah is considered like fire. And based on what we're saying tonight, a fire can only be mitaher, really, kli matechet, can only be mitaher metal vessels. But if we're saying tonight that the person is a kli heres, so that's a chidush of Torah, that even though a normal fire can only be mitaher, kli matechet, but the fire of Torah is able to do what a normal fire cannot. It's even able to take out the tumah from a keli hayres. That's already, because what's the reason? According to the halakha, really fire should work on a keli hayres to a certain extent. But what? We're concerned that the person is not going to put the fire hot enough because he doesn't want the keli hayres to break. And since he's worried about the keli hayres breaking, he's not going to do it the right way. But the hadush of Torah is that this fire of Torah is able to go deep into the person and not break him and take out the tumah as well. So that's what it means. And yeah, when a person is studying Torah, you have to know you're going through a purification process. Every time you study, it removes all that old hasvashlam tumah that was in a person, what he saw, what he read, what he heard, all these different inyanim. That's why David HaMelech says, Lev Nishbar V'Nitzkeh. Let's conclude the chapter b'chitov on a high note. The pasuk says, "Etiva b'rtzonecha etzion." Borei Olam. Now David HaMelech is praying for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. Benefit with your grace unto Zion. Tevneh chomot Yerushalayim. Build the walls of Yerushalayim. It's interesting to note. Normally when a person builds, what does he build first? A king normally builds the walls first, then he builds the palace. He has to build the walls in order to protect the palace. Now that the position is protected, then he can build the palace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the opposite. Hetiva b'rtzonecha et Zion. Build Zion first. Zion is the Beit HaMikdash. And then what? Tibnei Hamot Yerushalayim. Then build the walls, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need to have the protection first. He can build it, then he builds the walls secondary. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to build such a way. That's actually the Zohar in Parashat Mishpatim. And then once the Beit HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, as tahpos sevchei tzedek ola v'chalil, as ya'alu ha'mizbech ha'kafarim, then already we're going to be able to bring korban ola, ola tamid shel shachar, ola tamid shel benam, like we did in the olden days. V'chalil, chalil toktar, that's referring to the menachot that we bring with the Qurban, as ya'alu amizbechacha farim. Now what is this last part? Then on your mizbeah is going to go parim, bulls. Now what does this mean over here? So I saw a beautiful explanation. As ya'alu amizbechacha farim. I will conclude with this. You remember the story of Eliyahu al-Navi, when he had that episode with the Nevi'ah Baal. So there was, let's say, 400 Nevi'ah Baal and Eliyahu al-Navi, and they're claiming that there's Avodah Zarah in the world, and he's claiming there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. So Eliyahu al-Navi says, okay, make a deal. You build the Mizbeah, I'll build the Mizbeah. You bring a sacrifice, I'll bring a sacrifice. Without the use of fire, wherever the fire comes automatically, that has the real God. So Eliyahu al-Navi brought for the event two identical parim. He'll take one and they'll take one. So what happened? Eliyahu al-Navi tells the Avodah Zarah, you go first. And he doesn't want them to have any claims that Eliyahu al-Navi cheated or he did something dishonest. He says, there's two parim over here. They're identically the same. Take whichever one you want. So they say, okay, we'll take this one. Okay, Eliyahu al-Navi says, b'chavo. They start to pull the par. Doesn't want to go. They're pulling it. Its feet are firmly rooted in the ground. It's not budging. Now became a little mockery already. They can't even forget about fire. They can't even get the Qurban to move, which means they should have known that It's not going to be their day. Right? They're pulling and pulling, nothing. What happened? The Gemara says, the Midrash says, that the par, he knows what he's up to do now. He has to go on the Mizbeah of the Avodah Zarah. He wants to go to Eliyahu Navi's Mizbeah. What do I got to get stuck on these of the Avodah Zarah? I want to be involved in the Kiddush Hashem. I don't want to be involved with these Rishayim. I'm not going. So the Navi whispered in his ear, listen, go. Nothing's going to happen. Adrabah. It's going to be Kiddush Hashem also. When you're going to go there, you're not going to be accepted, and everybody's going to see that the Avodah Zarah Sheker. So you're also part of the miracle. So after he whispered in his ear, okay, he went Miratzon. In the olden days when there was still Avodah Zarah in the world, the animals, when they would go to the altar of the Avodah Zarah, even the animals would go hesitantly. They didn't want to go. But the Pasuk says, La'atid lavo, after the Mashiach comes, where there's not going to be any more Avodah Zarah, the whole world is going to be serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then the Pasuk says, as Ya'alu as Mizbahaka Farim. The Parim are going to go by themselves, as Ya'alu. You're not going to have to push them like the Tazir Yahweh Nabi. You're not going to have to grab them. As Ya'alu me'elehim. Every animal is going to run to the Mizbeah, because it's all going to be for the praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What a beautiful way of David HaMelech ending the chapter, which is a great siman. En Yisrael Nigalin Ela B'tshuva, which means the Geula is dependent on Teshuva. After David HaMelech goes to 15, 16 Pesukim, all on repentance, now he comes along and says, now I made Teshuva Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now I'm cleansed. Now that I made Teshuvah, now we're ready for the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. And that's why in the Amidah, right after the Beracha of Hanun Marben Slawah, Re'ena Be'onyenu V'dibe'u Mehele Ga'olenu Ge'olah Shelemarav Anshemecha. And the Hakamim come along and say that there's three things in Yahadut that are the Anyan of Shelema. There's the inyan of Geula Shelema, which is a complete Geula, not a partial Geula where it's exciting, but it's not complete. And there's another type of Geula Shelema that's complete, is Teshuvah Shelema, which means in order to have a Geula Shelema, you need to have a Teshuvah Shelema. V'achzirin b'teshuvah Shelema lefanecha. And that's why he's asking for a Geula Shelema also. And once a person has a Geula Shelema, then already it says all the people that Chas v'Shalom had ailments and was sick, and had the infirmaries, and the handicaps, and the problems, they can have Rifu'ah Shelema. Then the Rifu'ah is going to be Shelema as well. So we're praying to Kadosh Baruch Hu that the three Shelema should come true. But it starts with us. First, we make Teshuvah Shelema. And then, Be'ezat Hashem, we'll have Geulah Shelema, and then there'll be Rifu'ah Shelema. And what a better time in Motzei Shabbat Kodesh, where we're reading the Inyanim of David HaMelech Alav Shalom at the time of the Melaveh Malkah Seudat David HaMelech, Zechuto Yagen Aleinu Be'ezat Hashem, and will be fulfilled upon us. Hetiba B'Tzonecha Et Zion Tevnei Chomot Yerushalayim Az Tachvos Av Chesedek Ola V'Chalil Az Yalom Az B'Chakha Farim Baruch Anu Adi Adam Amen V'Amen.